From HanselMinutes.com, it's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 267, recorded live Monday, May 23rd, 2011. Support for Hansel Minutes is provided by Telerik R80 Controls, the most comprehensive suite of components for Windows Forms and ASP.NET web applications. Online at www.telerik.com. In this episode, Scott has an off-the-cuff conversation with Jeff Atwood.
Have you seen Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs?
Yeah, I love that movie. Well, totally underrated movie. No one appreciated that movie.
Very good movie. Love that movie. And it's funny, too, because when Henry sees the part where he powers up the thing, he goes, "Science!"
Dude, his voiceover work was so good in that movie.
Yeah, I know.
And Jude, you know another movie that just kicked complete ass in the same vein was How to Train Your Dragon.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That guy's voiceover work was just on point and thoroughly enjoyable.
Yes. Absolutely. Although I find that I slightly prefer the wackier movies. Like How to Train Your Dragon is kind of a serious movie. It's good. Don't get me
wrong. Oh, it's totally serious. Yeah. But I hear your point. Like the Cloudy really with a Chance of Meatballs. Work. Like you're watching Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs and you're like, well, I'm not really sure what kind of movie this is. You know? Yeah. And then like, okay, well, there's some food. Oh, food from the sky. Okay, this is that kind of movie. It's totally wacky.
There's all these little things you don't notice when you watch 53 times you do. Like, you know when he gets it to rain ice cream?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's one part where it's doing Neapolitan. Like, there's chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry. And there's, like, the one kid in the strawberry going, "I love strawberry!" And, like, all the other kids are in chocolate and vanilla. It's like a little joke, right? It's like nobody likes strawberry. It's on the screen for like all of 5 seconds. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I love inside jokes. I've already seen Thor twice, and I'm starting to look for stuff like that.
I haven't seen Thor.
Oh my god, it was so awesome! It's like Spider-Man. It's like that feeling when you first saw the original Spider-Man, and you were like, "Holy shit, Marvel is making good movies."
Well, Thor was like kind of like a second tier character.
Dude, believe me, on paper, this should not be a good movie. I get that. Intellectually, I understand that Thor should not be a good movie. When I heard about it, I'm like, really? Really, Thor? I mean, Wolverine? Who's next? Falcon?
Movie. You know, Aquaman is only a movie on like fucking Entourage as a dramatic conceit. It's never actually been a movie.
Yeah. I mean, Exactly. Of all of the ones that they would pick, Thor would be the last, you know. It would be like Black Panther and Green fucking Lantern, and then maybe.
They haven't done anything with Black Panther, haven't they?
They should. That'd be. I watched that.
What about Luke Cage? Like that's what Nicolas Cage took his name from. They haven't done that. Mm-hmm. There's so many.
I tell you, Stan Lee is going to be doing this for the rest of his life. You know what I mean? He is just making money hand over fist. It's the special effects that needed to get to that level before.
Right,
he could, you know, really make it happen.
Well, you don't think the original Batman wasn't, you know, from the '60s wasn't awesome enough for you,
dude? For me, Batman will always be Michael Keaton. I don't care what anyone says. it'll always be Mr. Mom for me.
And then you get old enough, you keep seeing him reboot it. It's like, oh, they rebooted Batman. Another gonna reboot.
I can't believe they rebooted Hulk within like an 18-month period.
Yeah, but all the Hulks have sucked. The Ang Lee
one was awful, but the one with, I mean, anything with Edward Norton is good. I respect Edward Norton.
That's true. Edward Norton.
And Liv Tyler. We can't, you know, you can't go against Liv Tyler.
No.
Yeah.
That would be wrong.
But yeah, I mean, Iron Man and fucking
Iron Man was casting. Good. I did enjoy Iron Man. Now I got to say that Spider-Man, I don't know, I was so on Spider-Man. A lot of people really liked it, and also X-Men. I thought the first one was pretty good. I don't know.
First one was great, and the other two were so kind of meh that honestly, I can't tell them apart when they're on TV.
Right.
Like it's almost like Superman 2 and 3, X-Men 2 and 3. It's like, well, which one is this? You know what I mean? Like it comes on TV. There's like certain movies that come on TV that are like My Shawshank, you know? And when My Shawshank comes on, that means it's just like whatever movie it is, like Golden Child.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, shit, that's My Shawshank. I need to watch it. You know what I mean? Like whatever you're doing, just because you happen to go up, 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 up.
Right.
And then you're like, oh, shit, Golden Child is on.
I've never actually seen Golden Child. That's the Eddie Murphy movie. Right?
Oh, are you serious?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh,
I missed
dude,
that one. That was
such a good movie.
That's when back when
oh
Eddie Murphy.
Oh my god!
You know he liked to party all the time.
Dude,
you know what I'm saying?
That was seriously. I mean, that's a great, great movie. Man, I was all ready to go off and like do a bunch of like quotes from it, and now I'm uncomfortable that I can't.
Yeah,
like I can, like it's all like oh, that's awful.
I think my problem with Golden Child was like I couldn't quite get my head around like what the hell is it? Like even as a kid, like this is what 1984, so I'm like 14. I was like, what is this about? Like I couldn't. It didn't sell me on the concept. Like, okay, there's a golden child. There's Eddie Murphy. There's, well, what's happening here? You know, I couldn't quite figure it out. So, I'm all more than willing to give it another shot. And you know, but you know what we can talk about is the Last Samurai, the full body glow, the samurai.
You mean the Last Avatar?
No, not the Last Avatar.
You mean Tom Cruise?
No. This is with bunch of black actors.
Wait a second. Like Dynamite? Like
okay. The guy gets the full body glow. The hands. First of all, it's a kung fu movie with black people. That narrows it down considerably. Hopefully, I believe it's called. And the guy is called the Shogun of Harlem. Shogun of Harlem.
Have you seen Black Dynamite?
I love Black. And you know they're making a sequel.
Oh, no. Are you serious?
Yeah, the guy's on Twitter and somebody retweeted and I actually saw it somehow. But the main...
That's just classic, man.
Black Dynamite was brilliant.
Everything... Honestly, he's such an underrated actor. You know?
It's called The Last Dragon. It's a 1980s.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that. That's the one... Isn't that the one where like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar shows up?
I don't know if he's in that, but... It's just a classic 80s movie. I mean, if The Golden Child is anywhere near as good as that, then you've sold me. So,
The Golden Child is just so f***ing quotable and fun.
Wait, I mean, is it more quotable than Coming to America?
It is equally as quotable.
Okay.
Quote that I was going to quote, well, I can't even tell you because just watch it. It's fun. I think it's on Netflix Instance. It's worth it. There's a hot chick in it of indefinite ethnicity. It's seriously, this is, you know, Eddie Murphy is one of those people. Let me see if I can find her name. He's one of these people where he'll have this girl in the movie that you've never seen before. And you'll think to yourself, there's never been a hotter chick. She's big things are happening for this girl. And then you never see them again.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That happens sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, he had this girl in this movie, and I think at the time, when like 1986 or whenever this came out, I said to myself, there are no prettier people than this particular chick. Like the curly-haired chick on Coming to America. You know, everyone thought she was hot at the time, but then you never hear a shit from her again.
Right.
And then, so he basically kills their careers as he boots their career. Yeah, here she is.
I'm going to check it out.
Oh, yeah. This is the girl.
You know, there was somebody like that I looked up recently, and she had died, and then I felt really bad.
Yeah. I always feel bad about that. Like, you're looking for hot chicks, and you're like,
well, exactly.
Oh, dead.
Oh, she was really hot. Oh, geez.
And she's hot and dead.
That's, like, kind of disrespectful. It's like, because you were hot, and now you're skeleton.
That's unfortunate.
I was just looking up Eddie Murphy, because other than, you know, Shrek movies, it's like I was kind of curious what he'd been doing, but not a lot.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Charlotte Lewis.
Big yoga chick.
Interesting.
Find a good picture of her.
And also that hat. You know, Eddie Murphy, the hat he wore in that movie didn't work for me. That totally does not work for me.
Really?
No.
Do you think that the hat is like holding it back?
The hat kind of did hold me back a little bit. Didn't like the hat.
That's sad.
I know.
To write off a movie because of the hat. Here we go. Here's another one. Check this chick out. This is her.
Oh, yeah. She's been in... These are some Hey DJ. Some other movie.
Well, these are, you know, she never, nothing ever happened for her.
Hey, DJ. That's the name.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, truly indefinite. She looks Indian.
You know, and she's from England, of course, right? It's
well, that, yeah. That, it kind of equates to Indian, because all the India stuff they did.
Did I say India? I mean UK.
Yeah, no, but I mean...
Oh, I guess India, it does,
UK,
yeah.
Well, it's been really connected. They were part of the British
Empire. No, that's a good point.
I mean, I blame them for the influx of just hideous Indian programming questions we get on Stack Overflow. It's like, why did you teach them English? Why did you have to do that? Totally blame the British Empire for that.
We should blame them.
They're blamable. Don't put that on the...
People are quoting. People are quote. I tweeted this. And he says, so he's quoting horror, so you've gotten through life without a single chunky asses reference? So you're not going to get any of these things.
Yeah.
My brother Noomsi. Oh, God. I'm just falling over. That is classic.
You know, I wrote about SSDs failing, and then Sam, you know, our programmer in Australia, you already, you know, Rob already talked to him. He had a RAID 0 array, a mirrored array of SSDs, and they just failed. Well, one of them is perma-failed.
Dude, after that whole discussion of SSDs failing came out on Twitter a couple of days ago, I had just updated. I don't know if you heard or not, but I bought a Synology NAS.
Oh, yeah. I linked it in the show notes, dude. I actually found the model.
Oh, you did? Okay, so yeah. So I bought that one, and I put in 8 gigs. And, dude, I am just fucking... I probably spend 20 minutes backing shit up every day now because I'm so paranoid that these things are going to die. Like, every time my computer pauses for more than 3 seconds, I'm like, oh, here it goes. Here it is. Oh, no, not yet.
It is that sudden, though. That's what really shocked me.
Oh, it is. It is.
Because you got to understand, like, I've been dicking around with computers for a long time, right? Like, I basically been building my own computer since 1995. I upgraded at least 20 or 30 hard drives. I just buy the new fastest thing forever. I have never seen drives fail, physical drives fail. I mean, granted, you get lucky, you get unlucky.
I've had a couple of drives go click, 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 and then I've just swapped them out before that, but I never actually had one die.
Right. This is just like you literally wake up one day and just your shit is gone. Mm-hmm. It's just there's no warning. There's no.
I was on a live meeting. I was having a conversation. It was like deep into multitasking, doing everything that's wonderful about the SSDs. And then the mouse.
See if that's the right one.
Then the mouse kept moving and nothing else did. And then I was like, uh-oh. And then the screen went black. I didn't even get the respect of a blue screen.
Wow.
That's it. That's exactly it.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Well, like.
Fucking awesome. Love that. Love
that. Well, because based on the price you said.
Yep. Yeah, it's spendy. That's the one.
Right. No, it looked really nice. But no, I did. I linked that from the show notes. So
magical.
I did the research. I didn't, I don't skimp on show notes. Producer Alex does some of the show notes, but he does an okay job, but he's not like super geeky like us, so it's hard for him to.
Is he like a salesman who does producing side?
He's,
or is
he's
he...
just like, I don't know, because Joel always wanted like a sidekick, like someone just to help, or with there's just a ton of miscellaneous stuff that needs to get done.
So he's like his assistant?
Kind of, yeah. But, he's technical to the extent that, I mean, he's able to get most of it done. But when it comes to show notes, I'm really anal. Like, they have to be just right.
Oh, really?
I want to link, like, every little thing we talked about, you know? Like, I want people to, every, of substance. I mean,
No, I understand. I should have a producer to do that, because I'm always getting people complaining that I always say in the middle of the talk, oh, yeah, and I'll put that in the show notes, and I never do.
Yeah.
And I get
this is also my concession to people who, don't have time to listen to podcasts. You can actually read the notes and get 50% of it. You can get just the meat of, like, here's the links, here's the basic concepts of what we talked about. You can read more here. You know what I mean? Otherwise, the kind of blog post is kind of pointless. Like, here's a podcast, click. It's like, well, that's useless. That's just a signpost to audio, right?
How?
It's very labor intensive, though. I mean, that's one of the reasons Joel kind of stopped doing the podcast was, he had to do all the editing, such as it is, and upload the file, and it was a lot of work. So I'm happy to have producer Alex help, but I do like the show notes in a certain way. And part of that, the reason I brought it up, was that when you talked about that thing, I want to link exactly that thing, right, in the show notes. Because it was cool, right?
Yeah.
That's all.
People, dude, I'm getting an influx of people talking about, like, giving quotes to this show. And they're sad because you there's like six different quotes in the last couple of minutes here that are just like, he doesn't know this one? Oh, it's so good. So classic.
I did get one slightly cool geek item. You know how Logitech sells those keyboards that have the LCDs on them that are programmable?
Yeah.
You seen those? And they also have like a keypad, like it's for gamers or whatever, but it's just like a little kind of a numeric keypad for gamers with like a
WASD.
Yeah,
kind of
pad. All that stuff. So it's a long story. I won't bore you with all the details, but I've been playing with it. It was just a for fun thing. I was like, I'll just get this to play with it and see what it's worth. And I got to tell this LCD is like awesome. Like there's all these really good plugins. Like there's one that gives you frame rate in your games, like sort of automatic. Like,
can you give me the link?
Well, it's the Logitech G13.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know, remember that. There's a bunch of people who are like obsessed with that.
Yeah, it's really neat. And if you think about it, it's kind of dumb because there's nothing the LCD does that you couldn't like have another, that Lilliput USB monitor?
Right.
It's like an you could do the same fucking shit with that, or just like a regular monitor, right? Like have a whole monitor.
No, it's dude. I hooked up my iPad today. Literally today, I hooked up my iPad with Display Link, and I'm like, okay, so it's a tiny monitor, you know. Right. And I also have a what's called a MIMO, which is a little USB monitor, mm-hmm. and it's like,
how do you spell that?
MIMO.
MIMO. Okay.
MIMOmonitors.com here.
Okay. Oh, nice.
So it's
this is good. I was looking for this.
Yeah. So I have one of these. I can give you two if you want it. It's garbage.
It's garbage.
I have the one on the left.
I ordered the Lilliput. It's sold by ThinkInk. It's $99, which is actually a good deal. It's hard to, in small displays, I don't think they make them at capacity anymore. So they're not.
The Lilliput.
Costive. Yeah.
Lilliput monitor.
Do Lilliput USB. Here it is.
I don't know how to spell Lilliput. Okay.
But the cool thing about it, the thing that's slightly cool about it, it's fully USB. I mean, granted, that means it doesn't have...
Yeah. Okay, so the Lilliput USB monitor and the MIMO are the same thing.
Probably, yeah.
They are literally. They have
no touching, though.
No. This one doesn't have touching. It's a little bit cheaper. I bought mine for $79 back before these things got popular.
Yes.
And it's like 1024 by 600 or some weird resolution like that.
Yeah. So what don't you like about it?
The problem is I have a 30 in front of me, and I got a 24 on my left and a 24 on my right.
Right.
There's literally nowhere else reasonable to put this thing.
I know. Well, that's what I'm struggling with.
So it's I just want more pixels, right? I want more pixels in my face because anything that I'm looking at, like my wall or art, is not moving things forward because it's not pixels. Mm-hmm. And if it's not pixels, it's not working for me. Edward Tufte, right? So I put my iPad, I'm looking at my iPad right now, and I have Display Link on it. I'm like, maybe I'll put my to-do list there.
Well, that's why the LCD on the keyboard is not as crazy as it sounds. You know what I mean? Because it's like a little accessory.
See, I like the space. Idea of an LCD like remember the old Crystal Tech LCDs that you used to put in the 5.5-inch floppy drive? You ever remember this? So back when 5.5-inch floppies went away, we have all these bays in the front of our computers. So all these people would go and put buttons and LED displays and stuff like Crystal. It was like Crystal Works or Crystal Tech or something. So people would go off and do that, and they would then put this, the speed of their fan and their temperature and that kind of stuff,
which
is all interesting, but of marginal value. Like it seemed like a good idea at the time. But, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're not looking at the front of your PC. That's really the problem.
Yeah. So, I don't know. What I'm going to try now is I'm going to try using the iPad to put OneNote on it. Just have my... Because the OneNote represents my my day's stuff of, things to do.
Yeah. I'm struggling with that, too, because I have three 27-inch monitors.
Yeah. It's effectively the same thing. So, it's like, why did you want this? You just wanted to see what would happen?
Mostly I just want to play with it.
Yeah.
But it turns out when I'm gaming, when it's actually full screen shit, I don't know. There's something to this because I really do like resource monitor.
Yeah.
Which has the most generic name ever of anything that has ever been created. And this monitors your resources. What the fuck does that mean? Because I always forget what it, I know performance monitor.
I used to have all that stuff. Kind of, I've got the Windows 7 network meter. That's the thing I'm always upset with. It's bandwidth.
Well, disk can be pretty brutal for us, too.
Really?
I was just... The Stack Overflow database is so stupidly large, it's just painful. So, I actually put in my... I upgraded the SSD to the Vertex 3, which is awesome. Highly recommended.
Mm.
And they'll fail, just... Yeah. They're still awesome.
I always assume they'll fail in a year.
Yeah.
Because they cost $600, it's $2 a day. Just drink, drink one less soda pop, and then I get the joy of SSD all day long.
I know. So, I took my old SSD, which is... I don't even feel comfortable selling this to anyone. It's this is a used SSD. This is a time bomb. This is selling someone a loaded gun. I was I'm just going to throw it away. But rather than throw it away, I was I'm going to use it as my scratch drive to put the Stack Overflow database on so I can get some actually decent performance.
Nice, nice.
Just loading that thing in is just pretty brutal. It's I think it's 100... We need to compact it, but it's 150 gig now or something just retardedly large.
Mm.
So that's one of the things that we like to develop locally, but sometimes we actually do want to test against Stack Overflow data. So having an SSD is essential now. It's you don't even fucking attempt to deal with the Stack Overflow database unless you have an SSD because it's literally you run a query and it'll be 15, just go to lunch.
Really?
And some of it fits in memory, some of the indexes and stuff. All our machines have 24 gigs on the main team. But it's...
Is it growing faster than hardware is getting faster?
We think our ace in the hole is that SSDs are getting so much better. So by the time we sort of run out of memory space, right now the database server, the primary database server, has 96 gigs, which is, you know, not stupidly... It's just expensive, not stupidly expensive. There's always stupid expensive, you know, if you really want to go crazy.
Yeah.
We never really want to go there. But we think by the time we can't, like, memory can't keep up with us, like, you know, it's too, we'd have to upgrade to 256 gig or something insane. The SSDs are going to be so good and large enough that they can actually support us, particularly in a RAID array. Like, if you look at the Vertex 3 and versus the Vertex 2 and the original Vertex, like, they've literally doubled performance.
Really?
In the last 2 years. Yeah. And all indication is that's probably going to continue for a while.
Hi, this is Scott coming to you from another place in time. Are you using agile practices to manage your software development? There's lots of tools in the market that manage the steps of a project, but most of them focus on individual roles. Get ready for a solution that caters for the success of the whole team. The guys at Telerik introduced TeamPulse. It's an agile project management tool that'll help you gather ideas, estimate, plan, track progress in a common workspace. Finally, companies, regardless of their size, can use a lightweight and convenient tool that makes all the stakeholders work as a united team, even if they're in different countries. By combining intuitive user interface and the power of Silverlight, TeamPulse removes the roadblocks that you typically face in applying Agile in an effective manner. No more lost data, no disparate systems, no lack of critical analytics regarding the health and velocity of your project. See for yourself. Get a free copy for 5 users and 1 project at Telerik.com/TeamPulse. And please do thank Telerik for supporting Hansel Minutes on their Facebook fan page, facebook.com/TELERIK, Telerik. We do appreciate it. There wouldn't be a Hansel Minutes if there wasn't Telerik helping us.
So we're basically running on RAM disks at this point. I mean, we can call them SSDs or flash or whatever, but they are.
Right. I mean, there's a bunch of bandwidth considerations because SATA 2 and SATA 3, I mean, SATA 2 is already the bottleneck for newer SSDs.
Well, yeah, I've got a, what do I have in this one? I have a Crucial C300, and when I run it at on this, my main machine, the one that I call the ultimate Coding Horror Ultimate Developer Machine Part 2, right. I get 7.8. So I have like all 7.9s and a 7.8 on the drive. But when I have it...
That's what I have too, let me see.
Yeah, but when I have it plugged in to the SATA 3... see, now look at this. I'm down to 7.7 because my SSD is starting to just kind of...
Yeah, I have 7.8 on my disk as well. Yeah. I think you're just limited. We're literally limited by the interface.
So I got it. I got the 6 gigabit, you know, thing. You need like a special SATA cable and everything, but I found it to be unreliable. Like it would.
Oh yeah. No, it's got to be native. Like you need the same bridge.
No. Yeah, so. It's not. And the thing is, I made the mistake of putting together this Coding Horror PC, literally like 2 months before Sandy Bridge kindly like hit it. So the sad part is, I put all this money into this machine, and it probably would be 30% faster if I had just waited a few months.
Yeah, Sandy Bridge is nice. Well, you got to wait the true high end stuff. Isn't coming out until like fourth quarter of this year.
Really? And
it'll be quad channel.
Oh, see, that'll be nice. Because see, I don't want to. I don't like I bought this fancy motherboard that has all this like Intel chipsets weren't ready, so we did it ourselves. You know, and it's just like, you know, I don't want to install some random guy's USB 3 driver. You know, just I want to wait until it's native and it's built in.
Yes. No, totally. That's the correct way to look at it. Unfortunately, you know, Sandy Bridge is so good, it makes the high-end stuff, it's basically equal to all the high-end stuff. Like, if you bought a really high-end Core i7, like the 6-core, whatever, the like, $300 or $400 Sandy Bridge will easily equal that.
Really?
Without a doubt. But it's not going to do better. So if you want to do better for the super high-end stuff, it's another, you know, 6 months wait. But quad-channel, which is exciting, because that means... If there's 8 memory slots, you know, do the math. It's like 8 times 4. That's 32 gig, right?
So what is your
exciting.
What's your WEI now?
It is. I think I'm 7.3. I'm limited by CPU.
7.3. What the hell?
It's video limited. Surprisingly, I have the 5790.
Oh, dude. So. check.
It would be 7.5. It would be limited by video, then CPU, then memory, then disk.
So check this out. Speaking, I'm actually right now. Yeah. I'm on all 7.9s and a 7.7.
Nice.
And the weird part though, the part that I can't trust is every once in a while I'll be all 7.8s and a 7.7. So you know, WEI when you're up on the edge, who knows? You know what I mean? It's all voodoo and magic.
Right,
but here's a funny story. So I went and I bought a GeForce GTX 470 rather. So NVIDIA GTX 470, mm-hmm. which at the time was like the NVIDIA card that was the best price performance, right? And but people warned me about the heat. So I'm like, well, you know, blah blah blah, the heat. I don't really give a shit. So. I just whatever. I don't do the heat. I don't care.
Well, you should care actually.
No, so I know. So it turns out. So it turns out, in fact, that if you have, and this monitor, this will do two. This device will do two 30 inches. So it's dual DVI, mm-hmm. dual channel on both. So I could run two 30s on this thing. But if you're running two monitors of different sizes. That means that like somehow some clock rate is different. So if the clock rate is different between the two monitors you plug in, then there's a bug in the thing and it doubles the heat.
Really?
Like this is like a known...
Is this a hard word?
This is,
hard
yeah. Word? It, so it was all over a non-tech. It's like a known and understood thing.
Well, there's a reason. Like if you read video card reviews, just go to some hardware site and read the video card reviews and just look at the size of the freaking coolers that they put on those carts. They are friggin' ginormous for a reason, because these things are generating like 150, 200 watts of power sometimes at the very high end. That's a scary, scary amount of heat. And that's just the nature of the beast at the high end. If you buy sort of the new, you know, consumer grade cards, they're much more frugal and they don't burn that much wattage. But if you want to be on the bleeding edge of like maximum performance, that's just... the status quo.
Yeah. Well, I know that it was stupid of me because I'm never going to go and play Crysis 2 on this machine. But the reason that I went like that to buy the big $400 card was that I had been running the 30-inch on a budget card. And I just had a sense as I would like minimize stuff or move windows around that I was losing frames. And it sounds very selfish and very, it's like, this is such a first world problem. You know what I mean? Like, what do they call that? A white wine that, my right. video card is dropping two frames every few seconds. But it was irritating. It was like, it's one of those things that once you've seen it, you couldn't unsee it. Mm-hmm. And I just pissed me off and it was worth spending an extra $100 and another 4 degrees Celsius to fix it because man, I do not even think about this video card. Everything it does fast.
Nice.
Interestingly, the bad stuff happens as you move between two video cards, right? Like if you're playing like some high-def video and then you move it between two video cards.
Right.
That's just everything falls apart at that point.
Well, that's one reason I like the ATI stuff, even though NVIDIA is a little faster. It's like a game of chase. Sometimes one's ahead, sometimes the other is behind. But you do get three displays on a single card. So like I have no issues with the three monitors that I have dragging, you know, fully high def video from monitor to monitor. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Exactly.
So I kind of wish NVIDIA would adopt this three monitors per card thing, but for some reason they haven't done that.
I think I thought that Pete Brown bought a four monitor card recently.
You can get more obscure cards that actually support a lot of displays, but they tend to be like really expensive, like CAD cam type stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only ones that I know of that are really mainstream is just the ATI stuff because they support three, what they call iFinity. It's also cool because for gaming, since it is one card, you can have a full size video frame across all three monitors. Like,
Yeah, see, that would be nice. But see, sometimes I've bought cards like that before, like not real iFinity, but like right before they started doing that. And it ends up being like two DVIs and an HDMI, you know, where they kind of wimp out on that third connector.
Yeah. I mean, I'm running 327s, so they're not quite, you know, 25, whatever, what is a 30-inch monitor, 2560 by some enormous number.
Yeah. I love my 30. Oh my goodness. It's 2560 by 1600.
Yeah, this isn't quite that high res, so I don't know if it would. You'd have to obviously do some research to figure that out. But
Yeah, I
man, we have a lot of first world problems, you and I.
We do. It's awful. Yeah,
and all these hardware, these cards. But it's terrible.
It is. It is.
I don't know if I can go on after this. Really, I think this is it. It's over. After
I feel like I should go and become a hipster and like get like a MacBook Air and just hang out at 15-inch. You know, the 15-inch MacBook Air.
Just reject all technology. Just switch to iPad.
Well, like, let me see. I'm looking at my Lenovo, my main laptop, and it is 1920 by 1200, right? That's so 1900 by 1200. That's the res.
Wow, that's high res.
Yeah.
And that's size is the display?
Let's say about a 15 and a half inch.
Jeez.
So it's really, really high high DPI. So I started looking at this new Sandy Bridge Lenovo laptop. I think it's the W520, and it's just beautiful. It's amazing. It's like twice as fast as this laptop. But the resolution of the screen is lower. Yeah. And it's like once you've been at 1900, 1920 or something like that, you know, and you like really can do two full pages of text side by side, then it's really hard to go back. So yeah, it is a first world problem.
High res displays are kind of rare on laptops. So if that's something you want, you got to be careful, because I don't think Apple even really does that, do they? Super high res.
They don't. They don't. And speaking of super, do you have an iPad or an anything?
I have the iPhone 4.
So I have an iPad and an iPad 2, and it's so frustrating to me that I've got the Retina display, right?
Oh, yeah. It ruins you.
And then I go to the iPad, and I don't. And
let me tell you, when the iPad came out, I looked at it and was like, okay, these pixels are like bigger, as big as my head. I was like, even before I had seen an iPhone 4, I was unhappy. Once I saw the iPhone 4, I was like, okay, I can't touch an iPad.
No, it's awful. It's awful.
It ruins you, because high res is awesome. Like, I'm with you on that. I think the advantage that Apple has is with iOS and stuff is they can design almost from the beginning. You figure iOS is what, like 3 years old, 4 years old?
Something like that.
This is like, go back to Windows time frame. This would be like Windows, what, 2, 3?
Yeah, it's a while back.
You're still in the part of the process where you can sort of redefine everything. So they aren't locked into all this resolution crap that, you know, even OS X, you know, on the Mac doesn't do resolution independence very well.
Well, and you know why? You know, I finally figured this out. I started digging into like how this stuff works, because you want to understand, you know, the underneath. It turns out that like OS X is basically, it's like held together with just transparent PNGs. Like everything is a PNG. All of it. Everything. Every button, every rounded corner, everything that's pretty on an iPad or an iPhone is a PNG that's transparent, that's in a zip file somewhere. And the reason that Windows never ever could do that is we have that ability to go use large fonts. Remember like the whole large fonts crisis of the late 90s?
Right.
And that was right before
that was national news.
Yeah, it was right before the 1998 cookie panic.
Yes.
Did you have cookies enabled? Remember that? Everyone was freaking out. I spent most of the late 90s explaining to my boss that cookies were not going to kill his family. You know, I should disable cookies, right? It's like the JavaScript panics of the 2000s.
Right. Exactly. It's a tricky problem. And I think, you know, it's funny too, because Steve Jobs was at Next for so long. And Next, as I recall, had like Display PostScript, which is, you know, the holy grail of like resizable UIs, right? Is it not? I don't know a ton about Display PostScript, but it's PostScript. I mean, it's designed for print, right?
Presumably.
So like, we've gone from that, which was kind of the future, to like, and I guess the web is kind of scalable. I mean, it's more scalable.
But you know, IE9 is supposed to be kind of scalable. Remember how everyone got all in a twist because they decided to make text look really pretty and not be pixel dependent?
Right.
And now Firefox is doing it. And everyone's like, it's blurry.
Yeah, you know, I've kind of gotten over that a little bit. I was really bitter about that.
Really?
I don't know.
It's always funny. I always hear people like, I have a horrible headache. You know what I mean? I have a medical condition that prevents me from using anti-aliased fonts.
Yeah. It's, you know what I've decided is, because I wrote about this a long time ago when Joel had mentioned something about how Mac font rendering was different. And Safari came out for the PC, remember? And it actually offered that font rendering mode. So I was able to sort of experience it firsthand. And neither one is really wrong, you know? And I think font rendering is one of those things where, like, once you get used to seeing it a certain way, that's what you expect.
Yes.
And see, I do think they have, to be clear, I do have a position on this. My position is on low DPI displays, it is better to do it the way Microsoft does it, without a doubt.
Well,
on
high DPI displays. It doesn't matter.
Well, no. It does matter. On high DPI displays, it's better to do it the way Apple does it because it gives you perfect font fidelity. Like, you don't compromise on the font shape.
I see what you're saying. So basically, Microsoft solved the font issue with software and Apple solved it with hardware, specifically high DPI displays.
Kind of. But I think the Microsoft approach is wrong at high DPI, and I would also say the Apple approach is wrong at low DPI.
Well, that's interesting that you say that, because I think it's so funny. As I do a lot of flying around and traveling, I see old men reading on their iPads. And
oh, yeah, just jack the font up, sure.
Yeah, and they have these giant fonts, right? And I think that it is kind of silly of them. And I'm always using, and I don't read on my iPad, right? And I don't want a backlit, poor font rendering kind of thing shining in my eyes. I use a Kindle because it's basically paper. And I always think it's so funny that they jack the font up like that.
I really like the Kindle. I was so impressed. Like, I had never seen...
I use it every day.
I had never seen the e-ink. But man, I was so impressed with that. I mean, obviously it sucks for non-reading. But for reading, it's like, wow. I really get it. And the other thing that's cool about the Kindle, it's cool because you can't do anything else with it. Because when you sit down with the Kindle, you're not going to go play friggin' Angry Birds. You're not going to go, oh, I'll see what's on Tech Meme right now. You know, you can't do that crap. Like, you're forced to focus and say, look, I'm going to read a book. Like, this is a book reading device. I'm going to read a whole bunch of writing, right? Which is awesome. Like, as a writer, you should be excited about this. Like, wow, a device that gets people to sit down and read without, like, click, 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 clicking as fast as they can.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Everyone's like, oh, it's so great that task switching and multitasking came back to the iPad. And I'm like, oh, no, now I can do other things and be distracted. You know, double clicking is all it takes.
Yeah, it's ironic because one of my first reactions to the iPhone was like, this is going to kill Nintendo. Like, I was like, I've spent... I haven't owned that many Nintendo devices, but I have owned like a Game Boy Advance and a few other things. And that stuff is pricey. And I was noticing, like, on the iPhone, like, I have games for free that are like full commercial games that are just free. Mm-hmm. You know, they have this periods of giving things, or just like a dollar or something. Like, for a cup of coffee, I can get a game that's going to give me about the same enjoyment, say a few hours, whatever. Because I guess if you're a kid, you have infinite time, so you could play for hours and hours. But as you get older, you know, a couple hours is good, right? I'm done.
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't have the patience anymore.
Yeah, and man, I mean, there's more games for like a tiny amount of
money. Dude, I'm playing. Have you played? I'm on my iPad. I'm looking at my iPad. I actually have like the kids' games, and then I have daddy's games, like, are in like a little corner of the thing because I've been relegated to the corner. And I've got Splinter Cell, Dead Space. Like, Dead Space HD is as good as anything you'd get on like a PlayStation 2.
I've heard good things. I like Dead Space. I played the first Dead Space and I enjoyed it a lot.
Dead Space on an iPhone would be hard just because it's so tiny. But on an iPad, it's really amazing. And now there's a thing called Order and Chaos. It's basically World of Warcraft for iPad.
Oh, yeah. That's by Gameloft, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. You know, the graphics, you know, you know that it's iPad. It's an iPad, I mean, because the graphics are, you know, they're PlayStation 2-esque.
Right.
But presumably they'll get that figured out at some point.
Yeah, well, the iPad 2 has... I mean, dramatically better. It's just they're waiting for the adoption to catch up. But
actually, the part that I didn't get to finish last time, a minute ago, and I was mentioning, was that I don't like that if I take a Retina display application from my iPhone 4 and I put it on my iPad, it's not Retina display, even though there's enough pixels for it to be. They make a small resolution, like an iPad, like an iPhone 3, and then they pixel double it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So even if there's an iPhone 4 mode...
Mm-hmm. It ignores it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really...
Isn't that
annoying.
Awful? You remember back in the day when the...
Why would they do that?
Because they're idiots and they don't want you to... I don't know. They don't want to do it. It's awful. Because you wouldn't need to write an iPad application then, right? You wouldn't write an iPad custom app. You would write...
You know what I mean? You're right. You're absolutely right.
I would be lazy. I go, no, it looks great. See? I did it for Retina.
It's only like a, you know, like 100 pixels off, right?
Right. It's like 9. It's like, was it like 960 by something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's laziness. But it reminds me of the time when the Palm Pilot, I don't know if you remember this, remember when Palm Pilots were 160 by 160?
Yes. That's,
that was the resolution, right? And I wrote up my diabetes application for it. And then Palm 4 came out, or Palm 3, and then it was like 320 by 320. What are we going to do? Oh, well, pixel double everything, right? So then you had blurry, you had blurry pixel doubled applications, and you had, you know, high res applications, and then it was the exact same thing. And I mean, I'm not in any way trying to take away from, like, from what these guys have done, like iPad and but it's like, man, some of these 20-year-olds just don't remember, man. I was rocking the Palm Pilot. You know what I mean? I was living the tablet dream. I felt like I was Wesley Crusher on my Palm 5, you know?
Right.
These kids weren't born when the Palm 5 came out. I'm talking about, I mean, like, I'm turning into such a get off my lawn guy.
What was,
you know what I mean?
What was I thinking about just the other day of something else that... Where, oh, this concept of buying a CD, like, I think is so dead now. You know, like, this idea of, like, you'd have some physical, you'd go to a store to buy a silver disc that has your music. Like, how inconvenient is that? Right? Like, who does this anymore? And, like you know, Henry, your my son and your son, like, they're not gonna, I mean, this will be a totally alien concept to them. It'll be like showing them, like, you know, I don't know, a horse and carriage or something.
Exactly.
And I mean, it hasn't really been that long. That's the crazy thing, you know? Or even modems. Like, who remembers modems now? I mean, there's kids now that...
Oh, yeah. I made a joke on Twitter. I made a joke on Twitter yesterday. I was like, you know, oh, no, no carrier. No responses. That was comedy gold, and no one said a word. And I was just like, oh, man. Really? Are we all 12? Yeah. What's wrong with you people? It's awful. Oh, hey. So, two questions. One... We just talked for a half an hour about awesome stuff. I think this is a Hansel Minutes, so I'll just save this and bleep out the swear words, and that's a show.
Okay, fine.
Okay. Two, I wanted to talk to you, like, for literally 5-10 minutes about the whole crash, the great crash of Stack Overflow, because we wanted more kind of gravitas, specifically because Sam... had a particular moment that he described that we just thought was too amazing, but you weren't there to make the decision, so he had to make it on his own.
Right.
So I wanted to paint that picture and then get just a little bit of audio from you.
Okay.
Is that cool? Okay, so I'm going to hang up on you, save this audio, and call you right back.
Okay, fine.
Okay.